Good morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to look into God's Word and to be challenged and to be changed. We've been talking a lot this week about being intentional, and this morning we're not going to spend loads of time on the two kingdoms, but I believe this morning that there are two kingdoms, okay? There's the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of this world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would fight." So do you find yourself fighting for the things of this kingdom? Jesus said his servants will not fight for the things of this kingdom. He said, my servants will not fight. They're not going to fight for the things of this kingdom. They're not going to try to get everything they can of this kingdom. But they're going to stand as soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. And the two kingdoms, I think sometimes I know that in today's society, the devil is trying to break down the two kingdoms and to make the two kingdoms appear like actually there's a lot of similarity in the two kingdoms. And that's not true. It was not true in the beginning. It has never been true, and it never will be. Just like we talked earlier this week, that your flesh will never become like God, because your flesh is your flesh. And so in order to become like God, we have to allow our flesh to die and the Spirit of God to fill us. It's not like our flesh becomes better. No, our flesh is rotten. It is sinful. It is of the satanic kingdom. And it always looks out for itself, always. It may sometimes appear like it's looking out for someone else, but somehow in some way it's to get gain for ourselves. And so there are two kingdoms this morning, and I know that the devil would love for us to bring those two kingdoms in and to kind of make them one. Oh yeah, there's some differences. In Galatians there, beginning of the week, we talked about what's in the two different kingdoms. And if you wrote those down, you can see that there is no way that the sins of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, there's none of those that can be interchanged. There's none of those that are even close to being the same. You can't say, well, yeah, you can't take a line and draw down there and say, this one and this one. No, because it's just so different. And so the kingdom of God is truth, all right? The kingdom of God is truth, and the kingdom of this world is deceit and lies, all right? And so that's why God hates lies, because Satan is the father of lies, and the kingdom of this world is Satan. And so it's not just some differences, okay? There's always going to be war, okay? And I think sometimes we become lax in the fact that, well, is there really that big of a battle? Do you find out that when you're fighting for the kingdom of God that there's a war? I do. I find out that there's a battle, that there's a war, that Satan is not satisfied and he doesn't want us to be. And, you know, I think it's really important that we understand the importance of truth and of lie. Okay, in the Garden of Eden, at the very beginning, when the onslaught of the two kingdoms began, Satan came to Eve and he said, why aren't you eating of this tree? And Eve said, well, God said that we shouldn't. He said, at that point, I believe it was only one tree that they were not allowed to eat of. The tree of good and evil eventually became two. So Satan said, instead of focusing on all the good things, I mean, I don't know how many trees was in the garden that they could eat of. Might have been millions, thousands, I don't know. But instead of saying, well, isn't that nice that God gave you all of these trees to eat of and he only gave you one that you couldn't eat of? No, he took the focus off of all the good things of God and he said, I wonder why God would not want you to eat of that tree. Is that what God really said? Do you think he really meant that? Wow, it just seems like that wouldn't really be right. And he kind of started putting this into Eve's mind, almost like, I just wonder if God isn't trying to hold back something from you. That he knows that if you eat of this tree, you're going to become like him. And so, he says, don't eat of it because he wants to have this supernatural power over you and control you. And he doesn't want you to become like him. So that's why he told you not to eat of this tree. And we all know the story how eventually the way of sin is often like that. Eve looked at the tree and it was pleasant to look upon. And then, Satan probably said, why don't you just feel the smoothness of that fruit? The Bible doesn't say what kind of a tree it was. And people often say apple, but it doesn't really say. And can't you see her just reaching up there and just kind of, oh, that was just perfect fruit. And it seems so innocent. And then Satan may have said, why don't you just go ahead and pick one of those? Well, it didn't seem so bad. We touched it, and it's not like we died or anything. We'd say today we're still a member of the church, And so then she snapped that fruit off. And then Satan may have said, now, you don't want to eat the whole tree, but just to take a bite wouldn't be that big of a deal, would it? And so we all know the story that Adam and Eve ate of that, and they became a fallen nation, or fallen people, and we are a result of that. So every one of us that is born, have been born since then, have been born with a fallen nature. And so we are not lost because of the amount of sin that we committed, but we're lost because we were born in sin. Okay? So many times we think that, we say, well, I just never got out into all those things. Or we think that someone is more lost because they were out in the world more than we was. No one is more lost or less lost. We're all lost, okay? Does that make sense? We're all lost. And so we all need Christ. It wasn't like I almost climbed out of the pit and then I just needed Jesus to just kind of lift me out a little bit. No, I was mired in the pit and I couldn't save myself. And I needed Jesus Christ. And so this morning we want to talk about the importance of feeding from the kingdom of God, and what that means. The old Indian chief was talking to his grandson one day, and they were talking. And he said, son, he said, it's sort of like this. He said, it's like there's two wolves inside of you. And he said, they're at war at each other, and the one wolf is good, and the other one is evil, and they fight against each other. And the little grandson sat there for a little bit and he said, well, Grandpa, he said, which one wins? And the old Indian chief, he looked at his grandson and he said, son, the wolf that you feed will win. Now you think about that. The wolf that I feed inside of me, the spirit that I feed with inside of me, what if I feed my flesh? My flesh is going to win. If I feed the Spirit of God is going to win. God is all powerful, but He has given me a choice to allow that power to be upon me. Okay? And so the power is available, and it's not. There's no doubt that God is all powerful, but He allows me to choose whether I want that power to be upon my life or not. Okay? So let's take our Bibles here in beginning for just a little bit. And let's look at a few verses from Psalms. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. These are words of David. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In 42, chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, he uses the example of a deer here. He says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And then let's turn to chapter 63 and read about four or five verses there. David says this. He said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. My soul shall be satisfied." Listen to that. I tell you what, the satisfied. You know, I I'm not advocating, but there was an old country song. I think a country man wrote it. He said, "I'm going to leave this old world with a satisfied mind." I don't know what all he meant by that, but you know, I want to leave this old world with my soul being satisfied in God. David said, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches." So David understood the importance of feeding on the things of God. And when he fed on the things of God, he was so powerful. And when he fed on his flesh, he fell. You know, when he went out there to fight Goliath and he flung that stone and he knocked him down, he said, "The battle is the Lord." But you know, when he sent the armies off to battle, and it says, but David tarried at home and he just kind of lounged and he wasn't in the battle. And you all know the story how he walked out on the rooftop and he seen that beautiful woman. And he forgot to fight he decided to not fight for the kingdom of God, but to fight for his own lust. And he was defeated. So you see, what we feed on and who we fight for is who we become. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And there's a lot of things that are vying for our time today. There's a lot of things that, there's a lot of good things. Well, let's read these verses first before I say this. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you want to make sure that you're never deceived, then just love truth. All right? If you want to make sure that you're never deceived, just know truth and follow truth. And truth will not allow you to be deceived. When we follow the truth of God's word, it will allow us to not be deceived. But if we start to finagle and to question and to say, "Well, did God really mean that? And is that for today?" and all this and that, then God begins to bring doubt in our mind. I don't like it when people look at the book of Revelation and say, "Well, I don't know. Is that really for today?" Well, we don't like that when people say that about other passages of Scripture, right? "Oh, well, I mean, is Corinthians for today, or is not going to war for today?" We say, "Hey, wait a minute." I mean, but then some parts of the Scripture, we just kind of say, "Well, I mean, no." That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to just, No. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? It's profitable. God, Satan doesn't want us to be intentional about the end times. He wants us to be loafing. He wants us to be a member of the church and be satisfied with our nice job and our nice family and just kind of be comfortable and hardly even be in a battle. He's okay with that. But he doesn't want us to be intentional. But Jesus said, and when he was talking with Peter, he said, I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And brothers and sisters, I am convinced that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the kingdom of God and against the church of God, because God said it's not going to, okay? But listen, he's going to have a church, whether I'm a part of it or not, or whether you're part of it or not. He will have a church. But it's our choice whether we want to be part of that church. And you know, here in America, we kind of have got this idea that we just hope that we're all taken out before we have to suffer anything, because our flesh doesn't want to suffer, and we don't want to have to be separated from our family, and we don't want to have to this and that. I wish I could guarantee you that, but I can't. In fact, Jesus said we will suffer, okay, for the kingdom of God. So let's not worry about suffering per se, or how to die for Christ. Like I said earlier this week, let's not worry about how to die for Christ. Let's just focus on living for him. Let's die to him first when we come into the kingdom. And so we've already died to ourselves. See, that's a part that sometimes we overlook. When I come to the cross of Jesus Christ, I have to die to myself. And I give my rights to God. And I say, God, my life is now in your hand. And so God has the right to do with my life whatever he wants to, because I told him that. And that's part of coming to the cross. It's not just saying a prayer, but it's coming to the cross. And the narrow way is not because we can never have any fun, or because that we just have to be real sober and never laugh or never whatever, but the narrow way is that when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we have to die to ourselves, and we have to give everything up. You see, the narrow way, when we come to Christ, we die, and then after that, it becomes better and better and better and better. But in the kingdom of this world, we just live it up for a while, and it's just downhill, downhill, downhill. But as we enter the kingdom of God, we funnel in through that small opening in the cross. Only we can enter in it. We can't take anything with us. All of our old flesh has to die, and then we come through, and then we are opened up into this kingdom of God. And I love to think of that as walking in the kingdom of God and being a child of God and what that means. I can guarantee you, maybe you're here this morning and you think that, well, I want to walk with God, but I really want to walk with God and still be buddies with the world. You can't do that, okay? Sorry, you can't do that. Do I have friends in the world? Yeah. Do I have some relationships with people in the world? Right. But they're two different kingdoms. Which kingdom is controlling your life? I can answer that for you this morning. The kingdom that you're feeding on is the kingdom that's controlling your life. Okay? You say, well, Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. All right? So we can't serve the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. I guarantee you this morning here, your flesh doesn't like that. Mine doesn't either. Okay? It doesn't like that. Neither does Satan. And so I want to illustrate this out a little while here this morning, and with this illustration. And I hope this illustration leaves you a picture in your mind. And you know, it's all right. I won't be offended if you chuckle once in a while or something, okay? I'm not offended by that. You know, it's all right for God. It's all right for God's people to smile. It is. It's all right for God's people to say amen. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, we get excited about a big buck or this or that, but then we act like we just have to be real quiet about God, you know, and all these things. But, you know, but okay, so this morning, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One of the things with the kingdom of God is that we can be satisfied. In the kingdom of this world, you're never satisfied. It's never enough. It's one more woman. It's one more drink. It's one more dollar. It's one more new vehicle. It's one more this. It's one more that. It's one more ring of power. One more year of healthy life. It's always one more, one more. But in the kingdom of God, he said, if you drink of this water, you won't thirst again. And if you continue to drink of this water, you won't thirst, okay? So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay, so, as we do this, we come to Christ, all right, and we sit down at the table of the good things of God, and we've been born again. We have done more than just say a prayer, although prayer is important, but we have realized the fact that we need to die to ourselves. We have repented of the sins that have been in our lives. That means we have stopped doing them. And so now we're feeding on the good things of God. And so, you know, we spend time with God and His Word, and we love it. You know, we don't need anything. We just love water. It tastes so good. It's so powerful. And I mean, I'm just feeding on the good things of God. And I mean, I enjoy bread. I mean, it's just dry bread, but I mean it. I mean, I'm just kind of enjoying the good things of God, and I'm satisfied. I feed on the good things of God, and my hunger is taken away. You know, but we can't always just sit at the feet of Jesus. We have to go out and about and do things and whatever. But you know, and so. So life goes on, and for a few years, I'm really satisfied at this table. But this doesn't have to happen, but this is what the devil likes to do to us, okay? Now, I notice that this table's over here, the kingdom of this world. I notice this table over there, too. And I we have the kingdom of God's table here. And these things are definitely more healthy for us than some of these things over here. Now, I know that these things are here, and I know that these things, to be honest with you, they kind of look appealing sometimes, okay? I never tell people that sin isn't fun, because sin is fun for a season, but remember, it brings death, okay? The wages of sin is death. So, I know those things are there, and it's not like I'm never tempted by them, but, you know, I'm feeding on these things, and so my appetite is being filled because I'm feeding on these things, and I'm enjoying the good things of God, and I really enjoy the other people that sit around these tables here with me and feed on these good things of God. But, you know, time goes on, and the devil kind of, I become a little bit lax in my life. And not only do I know that those things are there, but I'm starting to notice those things a little more. But, you know, our church has a standard against that, and I want to make it to heaven. And so I come back to here. You know, it's never wise. I don't think it's ever wise to make a decision based on the fact of whether I can do this and make it to heaven or not. Okay? People walk themselves right into hell by doing that. Okay? They take one step and I don't think God's going to cast me out just because. But the desire, a kingdom lifer, someone who is sold out to God and is feeding on the kingdom of God, his number one desire is, and his number one question is, what would God have me do in this situation? It has nothing to do with making it to heaven or not. But what would, yes, yeah, so heaven is definitely a goal that presses us on. And I think all of us came to Christ originally because we wanted to go to heaven, but then we find out the love of Christ. But you see, we sometimes become a little lax, and you know, I used to sit down and really indulge these things, but you know, God's really been blessing us, and business is going really good, and we have a lot of other commitments to this world, and we're just blessed. You know, and so because we're so busy with the things of this world, I mean, we're still feeding, but I've been noticing that this table here looks a little bit appealing. And so, you know, I have been feeding mostly on the Word of God. And I, you know, I read other good books, and I think that's good. But I think ultimate truth is the Word of God. I believe if all we had was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need any commentaries. We wouldn't need other people to try to make it look smooth and slick and exciting. Because the Word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's why sometimes it cuts and it hurts. You see, when I go bow hunting, I want an arrow that's sharp. You see? When I shoot a deer and it's kind of dull, yeah, you can kill it, but if that arrow is sharp and it penetrates those vitals, it brings death really quick. And that's what the Word of God is. That's what God says His Word is. It's quick. It's powerful, quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it brings death quick because it's so powerful when we put that into our lives. So, yeah, I enjoy reading other people's ideas and things, but I think the greatest power and the greatest victory is in the Word of God itself. And so we feed on the Word of God, but you know, time goes on and I become a little slack and I'm not having devotions quite like I was, and I'm not quite praying like I was. And I've been kind of noticing that that table is not quite as appealing to me as it once was. I mean, oh, now don't get me wrong. I want to make heaven. But I've been noticing that this table over here is wow, it's starting to look better. And, you know, I even start to think of some things like, you know, would it be good for me to just involve myself with a little bit of this stuff so that I would kind of know what to preach on and things and, you know, and what people are facing and how to help them out of their bondages. And maybe I need to understand, you know, but well, I'm kind of torn between the two. And another thing I've been noticing is the people around these tables here, they're okay, but they're not quite as precious to me as they was. But you know, I've been noticing that these people over here, they're pretty appealing. Okay? And my flesh kind of likes this. And so, you know, I start to think a little bit. I start to think, oh, you know, not... You know, it's not that, you know, we have to be careful. I mean, you know, we have to make sure that we don't, we would want to be careful and never sit down at this table, you know, I do kind of wonder what would be the ingredients in some of this. So just let me read a little bit of the ingredients here, okay? Carbonated water. Well, water's good for you, isn't it? In fact, my wife tells me I should drink more water. High fructose corn syrup. Well, that's not quite so good, but oh, would you believe it? Concentrated orange juice. The third ingredient in this. Concentrated orange juice. So, you know, sure, there's some things in here that ain't the best for me, but you know, if I'm willing to dig through that trash, I can find some pretty good old truth down in there. See, now here I don't have to dig. It's just all right there. But here, you know, and we start to say, well, you know, that movie wasn't the best. I mean, there was a few sex scenes and there was a few things that wasn't the best in there. But, boy, I tell you what, the overall meaning of that was good. And so I start thinking about it that, well, water, orange juice. My mother would encourage me to drink orange juice for breakfast. And there it is, right? Right in there. And so, now I understand there's a few things in there that aren't the best, you know. But, I mean, wow, that orange juice just really jumps out at me right there, that orange juice. And so I'm not for sure, you know, it'd probably take quite a bit of this to get a glass of orange juice, but, you know, it would be in there. And, well, I tell you what, I don't want to get real crazy with this, but, you know, beans, there's water in there, and, you know, my body has been a little bit dehydrated and things, and I need some vitamin C. And so, you know, I think I'll go ahead. I mean, obviously, now listen, we have to moderate this, okay? I mean, we don't want a lot of this, you know, but so, but you know, it's good. And you know, as I think about it, I kind of just feel that water and orange juice going down through my body and just energizing me. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, man, I have energy, you know, and that orange juice is just, it's just taking, it's just doing its work, you know, and, well, you know, remember now, we want to be careful with this. We never want to, you know, because there is some truth in there. Now, there is some bad, but, you know, we have to dig through the bad to get to the good. Now I could come back over here, and I don't have to dig through anything, but, you know, I've been noticing that, yeah, I mean, I still come over here and sit down, and dry bread. Wouldn't it be nice if we could at least have a little bit of butter on it, you know, or a little bit of jam or something? And, you know, it'd be nice once in a while to have a little something other than just water. I mean, you know, but I want to make it to heaven, and so. I don't really feel like eating it, but I'll just force myself to eat it. And so this goes on, and a few more years pass, and I have been starting to have more attraction and more attraction to this table. So I drank some of that, and I was satisfied by the orange juice and the water that was in there. You know, how often, and I understand some of this, but how often do we say, now, there's a lot of stuff in there that ain't good, but there is some good points, okay? Don't we say that sometimes? Now, that book there, boy, there's sure some main key points in there that I don't agree with, but boy, there is some good points in there. You know, there is some orange juice in there, and there is some water in there. I'm not saying that we can never consider something like that, but really, wouldn't we want to, when it came to the kingdom of God, wouldn't we want to just be around truth? But, you know, I've been thinking about, and please hear me out on the sarcasm of some of these things I say. I've been thinking about this. You know, is being radical really the answer? You know, to only feed on truth? I mean, how many people will we get if we only give truth? I don't know. Let's live it and find out. But anyhow, you know, what about if I just feed truth? So, you know, I start to think, you know, Jesus ate with sinners, didn't he? Yeah. Got in trouble about people didn't like that either. But the thing is Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't eat their food. You see? He didn't eat their diet. He ate with sinners, but he didn't eat their diet. Okay? But, you know, so, well, I decide, you know, I mean, if I'm ever going to reach these guys, I'm going to have to join in with them a little bit. And so, pretty good. And, you know, I mean, that's right. We want to moderate this, don't we? I forgot. So, but you know, there's something been happening in my life. Now, we've had about a 5 to 10 year span here now, okay? And it used to be that I knew what was white and black. I knew what was truth and what wasn't. But it seems like now today that it's a little bit harder for me to determine what truth is. I guess it's just the times that we live in, you know? And another thing I've been kind of noticing is I don't really fit in with this table of people. And I don't really fit in with this people around this table totally. I mean, there's some things that I can joke with them about and be okay. And there's some things that, you know, like I can sit at this table and we all believe Jesus is the only way. I mean, you know, that's, you know, we have some lot of things in common. But, you know, another thing I've been noticing is I'm getting kind of weary. My mind's kind of spinning. And I it seems like it used to be that I would say, no, that's not truth. Get that out of here. But now I'm kind of becoming more entangled. And I've been messing around with a lot of things that I don't really know if they're truth or not. But, you know, I mean, as long as you don't know they're not truth, do they really hurt you? Or, you know, I mean, so I become more and more entangled. And I'm becoming weary. And so I get a brilliant idea. I think, you know, if these two tables were not so far apart, then I would feel a little more comfortable, okay? And so, because obviously I want to make heaven. I mean, obviously Jesus is the only way. But, you know, I just don't have the appetite. I think it's due to the fact that the times that we live in, you know, If I would have some kind of new wild translation of the scriptures or something, that would probably help me out. I bet I could understand it more. You know? But I find that more and more, this table's becoming more of a Sunday morning type food, okay? And this table is now becoming a little bit more of a norm. I mean, you know, it used to bother me when I heard people say those kind of jokes. It used to bother me when people flashed something, that nakedness or that impurity or that whatever. It used to bother me when people gossiped to me and things. But, you know, I've kind of grown. And, you know, I can actually almost be involved with some of those things now. And, I mean, if the right people come around, I get a little bit nervous, you know. But overall, I mean, I've just grown. And now it's not so big of a deal. I mean, in fact, sometimes while the commercial's playing or something, we'll say a little something about God, you know. And I'm actually becoming more comfortable with this table, and I find out that I'm becoming less comfortable with that table. I'm also finding out that this table I need more and more and more to satisfy me. Okay? It used to be if I could just have a little bit of it. But now, you know, I mean, when I go on vacation or whatever, or, you know, I mean, do you think God expects us to live a holy life
24/7, 365 days a year. Do you think that? I do, but I don't know if you do or not, but I do. But in sarcasm here, you know, of this illustration that we're doing, do you really think? I mean, come on. I mean, so, yeah, maybe where we went wasn't the best, but, you know, I can say I can walk away from there and it doesn't even bother me. I mean, you know, but can you say it doesn't, could you honestly say that it doesn't bother the divine nature of God? So I keep indulging in my orange juice. Well, time goes on and another 5 years or so goes by. And I don't even have the chair pulled out anymore. I mean, it's not that, okay, I mean, I really do believe down deep inside that Jesus is the only way, but, you know, Jim, could it be possible that, this is all sarcasm, please, I'm going to switch this all out when it comes to the end, okay? But in this sarcasm, you see the movement that's happening here. I mean, could it be that, I don't know, I mean, these people, they pray to Allah, and they do this, and they do that, and I mean, they're nice people. I mean, and I start to question in my mind, because I'm not feeding on truth. The truth is, Jesus is the only way, okay? But because I'm feeding on things that aren't truth, now I'm starting to question some things, because what is truth, you know? And so, well, yeah, so I decide that I'm getting a little older and I'm becoming more weary, and so I decide that the tables are too far apart. And you know, I have really come to learn to appreciate the people around this table. And you know, it's not that I don't appreciate the people around this table, but you know, as I feed from this table, I am starting to appreciate the people more around this table. And now, I'm not going to say that these people aren't saved, okay? I'm not going to say that, but boy, I tell you, you got to wonder, is it all just about works? And you know, another thing's been happening, you know, since I've been feeding more from this other table, I tell you what, I am excited about God. I mean, pray, no problem for me to pray. I mean, woo! I mean, I can just go at it, and I tell you what, I'm not ashamed to say Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say this, but yet I'm feeding from the other kingdom, and my conscience is bothering me, so somehow I have to make up for that conscience bothering, so I get really vocal for God, which we should be anyhow, but you don't have to become like the world to be vocal for God, okay? And so I become vocal for God, and I buy WWJD wristbands, and I put them on my hands, and I put them on my shirt, and I tell you what would Jesus do? You know what Jesus would do? He wouldn't feed on the things of this world, okay? That's what Jesus would do. But, you know, and so since I'm feeding on the things of this world, I have to. Pastor once said, I can't tell the divorced and remarried people to leave my church. They're the ones that do all the work. They're the ones that's on fire for God. And you know why a lot of that is? It's because deep inside their conscience bothers them. And they're trying to make up their salvation. They're trying to make up. I heard a counselor once said that when he counsels people that are in mixed marriages, he said, seldom when it comes right down to it that they don't have a question about it. But we make up for it by being excited for God. And, you know, Jesus, and here's something that we all need to learn, is God didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let it shine. You see, when I'm feeding on the things of God, it'll just shine. You see, when that girl told Peter, she said, no, you're from there because your speech betrays you. And he said, no way. I tell you what, when we're of the kingdom of God, our speech and our ways will betray us. Okay? We can't hide it. All right? But so this time goes on, and I'm no longer really feeding on the Word of God that much. I mean, I sometimes punch in a good tape on the way to work, or I have some things. You know, I have 15 minutes to work, so sometimes I just put a good gospel tape in there and listen to some singing, or I maybe kind of get the Daily Bread and I kind of listen to that on the way to work. And you know, it's not because I was up late last night watching the football game and all these different things. And so this morning I was kind of tired, so I slept in. But then or maybe I was up late last night because I had a big business deal and there was no way I was going to let this thing get away from me. But you know, this goes on for a few more years. And now I'm at the place where I really feel more comfortable here than I do here, because you see, when I come over here, this actually begins to convict me, okay? What was now causing me to grow now is bringing conviction to my life. But when I go over here, they just welcome me with open arms and say, come on in, brother, you know, whatever. You know, and as long as I don't say things like Jesus is the only way or you're on your way to hell, or as long as I don't say anything like that, man, they just say, come on in, brother, whatever. As long as I agree that maybe there is more than one way to God. Now, I'm not saying that I believe that there is. Now, don't get me wrong, but, you know. Then I get another brilliant idea. You know what? I'm getting kind of tired, so the tables are too far apart. So, well, actually, I don't need this chair anymore. They're close enough now that... move this chair here over to kind of over here a little bit so that we can. So now there, in my actions, in my speech, in my appearance, and in the places I go, there's hardly anything different than the world, except the fact that my WWJD wristband and a few things like that that I'm proud to wear. And you know, and you know, back when I was feeding only on truth, it seemed like things were so clear. They were so clear, Jim. That wasn't right. But you know, today, it just seems like everything is cloudy. Do we have to, you know, the Bible says without holiness no man shall see. Do you know the Bible says that? Without holiness no man shall see the Lord. When's the last time you've heard that at a funeral? Without holiness no man will see the Lord. You say, well, I don't really like that, preacher. Well, you don't have to talk to me about it. You have to talk to God about it, okay? That's what he said. He said, if you're not holy, you're not going to see me. Well, what's holiness? Ask God and he'll show you. Okay? God's not interested in somebody that says, well, what is holiness? He's very interested when we say, God, show me your holiness. Show me your way. Anything in my life that I'm feeding on, I know those romance books. I know. I was just talking with a young man recently. And I said, he's wanting to be pure. And I was talking with him and I said, I was talking about some things in his life. And I said, these things are going to have to be cut out of your life in order to be pure. He said, I know, but I don't want to. Well, he's not going to experience purity. Now, he wasn't saying that like I won't. He was telling me that, I don't want to say that wrong. He was saying, I know, but it's a battle in my life. That's true, it is a battle. But you see, until we cut the impure things out, we can't be pure. Until we only feed on truth, we really can't know for sure. Well, time goes on, and I get another brilliant idea that, you know, it's still kind of, it's not as stretching anymore, but really, I wouldn't need to stretch over. I mean, bring this over here. And so, I used to have peace. I used to look forward to the Lord's return back when I was just feeding on these things. But now since I've been kind of... I guess I'll just hope, you know, that I'll make it. I'll hope that my good outweighs my bad. I just want to challenge you with this right now. There's no use hoping for that because that's not how you'll make heaven, okay? It's through Jesus Christ and being crucified to Him and denying ourselves. That's how we make heaven, okay? But you know, in this, we say, well, we don't really need two tables anymore. So I go like this for a few years, and then I get one last brilliant idea or one last deceptive idea. I decide we really don't need two plates. We'll just put it all on one and kind of mix it up and just have a smorgasbord. You know, I see. Please understand the sarcasm of some of those things that I said. I think you know me well enough. But do you see that movement in the church in America that I just showed you? Okay, now this is a hard one, okay? Do you ever notice that movement in Anabaptist churches? Still not quite so bad, but do you ever notice that movement at Myerstown? I notice that movement wanting to happen in my own life at times, right? Do you? I do. Man, it's just tempting to, really? I mean, that's radical. Well, God is a radical God, okay? And He said, you worship Me and Me alone, you cannot worship any other, okay? Now, we understand that, don't we, in some ways. We understand that, like, say that you was talking to a guy at work, okay? And he said, I am just so thrilled with my wife. You know, he said, my wife loves me, and she loves me. In fact, you know, of all the millions of men she could have married, she married me. And, I mean, there's a couple other ones that she keeps in contact with and she visits once in a while, but I'm so glad that it's just me and a couple others. Because look, it could have been millions, but it's just me. Would you say, wow, yeah, that's the kind of wife I want to have? Is that, no. We'd say foolishness. But God says, I want you to marry me. In a sense, okay? And I want to be your God. And I don't want you to have any other God. I don't want you to have any other partner. I must be first. Not me and just a couple other things. Not me and just a couple of my favorite things. Saul found that out. He destroyed a lot of sin, but he brought back the things that he loved. Pride, Agag the king, the best of the sheep. He was pretty slick. We brought those back to sacrifice, but that really wasn't the case. So I in your life, this is a 25 or 30 year process, okay? You know, the decisions that we make in life. My mother was born into a Catholic home. And she had some decisions to make. And around high school or somewhere in there, she came to know the Lord. She was born again. She left along with my grandma and grandpa. And they left the Catholic Church. And there was a process of time through there. When they were walking towards God, they were with you don't have to be Anabaptist to be saved, but I appreciate what the Anabaptists believe about the Scripture, you see. And they made some some wise choices, and because of their wise choices, it influenced me to be able to make wise choices. I still have Catholic relatives. I still have Lutheran relatives. You know, then the time came that my wife and I began to date, and God was working in both of our lives, and we just felt a need for a different direction in life. And so about 6 months after we were married, we chose a different direction in our life. And you know, we have been blessed by that choice. And you could not offer me anything of this world. Go ahead, I don't care. You cannot offer me anything in this world to go back and change that choice. And I can guarantee you that you could not offer my mother anything in her life to go back and change that choice. You know, as I was making some of those changes in my life and not dating some of the girls that I used to and different things like that, I had a friend that would make quite a bit of fun of me, and when I would kind of start walking away from something, he rubbed it in pretty good. But you know, my heart goes out to him because today he's confused. He's on his second marriage. I don't say that as ha-ha in any way, but brothers, the choices that we make and the food that we feed on, I want to choose my destination and then follow the path. Does that make sense? I don't want to just choose a path and then wherever it leads. No. No. Some of the choices we have made with lots of things in life, I haven't been as open to technology as some people. Not that I don't have any of it, but you know, I have no regrets of not being as open to it. None. Zero. Zero. You know? And the choices that we make. God's word says that these are the two kingdoms. Does that make sense this morning? And God will not share His glory. He will not share His kingdom with another. And neither can His people. The only things that's going to be in glory are the things that God loves. Think about that. So people live all their life loving the things of this world. Well, they wouldn't even hardly enjoy heaven, would they? Because the only things there are the things that God loves. Brothers and sisters, I don't want my kingdom. I'm sorry, I don't want my life to be mixed with the two kingdoms. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank You for Your kingdom. I thank You for the privilege of having been taught and raised and encouraged to seek You. Was everything perfect? No. Have I done everything perfect for my family? No. Was Noah perfect in every way? I don't believe so, but his heart was totally bent towards serving You. Lord, I pray for the people in this congregation, the brothers and sisters. I pray for the church back home in Fort Wayne this morning, Father. May we all love truth. If we love truth, if we pursue truth, if we feed on truth, we will not be deceived. So, Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the kingdom of God. Thank You for my dear brothers and sisters here. May we all gather around that table of truth and fight for the kingdom of God. May we feed on the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.